time. Let's lift our holy hands, the Bible says. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your word. And we thank you, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit is with us. He's always with us. You said that he'll never leave us or forsake us. So we believe that. You said that he's a teacher and you said that he's a guide. You said that he reveals you more than anything anyone else can tell us about the home, about Father, about all the things that belong to us. So we're going to ask Holy Spirit tonight that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that he would reveal to us that if there's anything that needs to be said tonight by the Spirit of God, we pray that it will be said, that you would be able to lead me. So I yield myself to you, my whole spirit, soul, and body. Use my tongue as a pen of a ready writer, writing on the tablets of people's hearts that which they need. We pray in the name of Jesus that we ready ourselves. We consecrate our lives and dedicate our lives, submit to you, Lord, that whatever you need to do in our lives, whatever you need to say to us, we're going to be open to it. Whatever you need to direct us towards, whatever you need to ask us to lay down, whatever, wherever you need to lead us, we'll go and carry our cross and not to live for ourselves only, but to live for the things of God, and all these things that we seek after will come onto our lap. You'll say that men will give unto us what we need. Not only do you provide everything we need, you said in Philippians 4:19, but you said in 1 Timothy 6:17 that you said that you provide all things that we might enjoy. Whatever we need, whatever enjoyment we need to have, you will have it there for us. So we're expecting you to change our lives as we leave here, that we will not be the same. And if we heard this word before, that we pray that we will learn in addition to what we heard before, or that what we heard will be watered and it would be growing, or we begin to produce something. So help us to be that kind of a person. So we promise, Lord God, that we would not be just a hearer as we leave this room and this house, that we will be a doer of the word. We pray for all those that are watching online, that they'll hear the word in dynamic fashion. We pray the same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, will begin to touch them. If they're not saved, they will be saved. If they need deliverance, they will have deliverance. If they need direction, they will get it. So we thank you in advance, because this will happen. We pray as the people prayed over there in the fourth chapter, the book of Acts, stretch forth that hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We pray that the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of seeing and knowing, the gifts of doing miraculous feats by the hand of God would be upon us. And that we would leave here dynamically filled with the power of God to do the things that you call us to do. We pray that our eyes would be wide open, that we will not just be sleepers in the Word of God. We will be doers. We will not be afraid of the enemy. We're not afraid of him. He is paralyzed. He cannot stop us or do anything that you ask us to do. We will obey you no matter what the cost is. Thank you, Father, for the word of faith. We thank you for the prophetic word that has been drawn out and pushed towards those that need to hear it again. Thank you for saving us, giving us salvation and all that belongs to us as your children. Thank you that we will live in the abundant life and to live the life that you've deemed us to live, the happy days, the days full of fruit, and enjoy the blessings that we've never worked for, that you've given us through Jesus Christ. Thank you for our righteousness and the shield of faith that we can walk so dynamically in victory. Thank you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Lift your hands and bless them. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if you recognize the prophetic word that came upon me. And some people were, you might have grieved the spirit a bit because we could have carried on. So you need to be careful, because whatever you needed to hear, you could have heard it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, if you ask God to do something, he'll do it. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. You know, this is my wife advised me, it's a Finnish Independence Day. So how many Finlanders we have here in the house? We got a few of them. Some of them won't let you know. I'm half a Finlander myself, by faith. And thank God, Jesus is a Finlander, I know that. He's got sisu, and he's got more than enough to get over there, praise God. Anyway, we're going to talk about the life of victory for some time, and I want to talk about standing firm. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. This series is from the Life of Victory series, which is called the Jesus, the Waymaker. We mentioned some of this before. Our text is found in John 14:6, the King James Version. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father by me, but by me. And the idea of this whole teaching is that whatever, if you're having a hard time getting healed, if you're having a hard time finding a husband, a wife, if you're having a hard time with your children are away, they're not walking with God like you want them to, they're not serving God, whatever it is, Jesus has a way for you and for them. And sometimes we give up. You know, I was grew up in a Pentecostal as a brand new Christian. My babyhood Christian days, I grew up as a Catholic for 24 years. I went to St. Andrew's Church over here, Corpus Christi. Went faithfully. I went every Sunday, whether I was drunk that night, the other night before. Hey, I went. And I did my confessions, went to communion. And I was never satisfied. I was always afraid that I might not make it till next Sunday, or that something might happen, that I was not forgiven. I didn't know that I could be assured of my salvation. Because, you know, in the Catholic Church, they don't really give you an assurance of salvation, as far as I know, in the churches I was in. They couldn't tell you whether or not you're saved or not, because they thought, you could find that out when you die. And if you happen to not make it, we can actually pray you out at some place, if it's purgatory, or if it's, I don't know what they call those things, somewhere, limbo, or I don't know what they call that thing. They said kids go to limbo somewhere. I've never heard of that place. And they said that if you didn't make heaven, you'd go to a place called purgatory, and that you'd burn a few thousand years, and we could pray you out of it by praying for you, lighting a candle and putting some money and offering a prayer. How many of you are familiar with what I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay, so that's where I came from. And I didn't understand about salvation. I didn't know you can be saved right now. I didn't know you could be born again right now, and if you died right this second, you don't have to go see St. Joseph or Peter or whatever. You go right to the presence of God. Jesus is the way. And he told Jesus, upon this rock I'll build my church. Jesus wasn't telling Peter that he was the rock. He was telling the rock of the salvation, what I'm telling you now. The rock is the scriptures that you can stand on and believe and trust. And he says, this is what it is. You know, Jesus told the man who was dying, remember the guy, the two thieves. You remember the two thieves? Looking like me, you never saw them or heard about them. The two thieves were on the cross with Jesus. Paul said that that was his old man, remember? You remember when Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ? How many of you remember that? Well, it was not his dad. Your old man is your old spirit, right? And Jesus took that on the cross, died for you. And why did I say that? Well, I don't know. Well, you know, because that old man went to the cross with Jesus, and he died there with Jesus on the cross. far as God, we died with Jesus on the cross, and we went down to hell with Jesus. I read Brother Hagin's story last week, and I read it again yesterday again at the staff meeting about him going to hell. And he went to hell. He was going to hell. He said, I could just feel the flames. It's getting hotter down there and so forth. He said, I felt something pulled me, like a suction cup on my back, pulled me right back up again. To make a long story short, he said when he got back into his physical body, he was actually praying, coming back up, asking, you know, before he was going there, he said, Jesus, God, I go to church. I'm a church member. He kept going down, down, down. He kept yelling louder, Jesus, God, God, I've been baptized in water. And he kept going down. He says, this is my words, this is what come bounce back to me again. And he said that demon grabs his arm, he's going to pull him into the entranceway, and then he was sucked back up. He said he heard a voice, and that place shook. And he came back up. And I remember they did a story like that, a show of some play in Rhema. So he comes back up. He said, I'm praying while it's coming up. Somewhere almost getting close up there. He said, I'm praying. Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner. Confess you, I need my Lord. Somewhere he must have remembered how to pray that prayer, because how would he have known that? He said, my words, I picked up my words on my deathbed. I was starting to pray out those very words, come back in my body. It is at that time I heard my mother praying, interceding for me that I wouldn't die, that I would not go to hell. I was 17 years old, but I was not born again. How many people know that Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God? So he got born again, evidently, crying out to God, you know. I remember that scripture in Jude. There's only one chapter, you know, in Jude. It says that we pull people out from the fires of hell. You know, it's important that people pray for you. Amen. People have prayed for you to be born again. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That's all I got to say about that. But anyway, Jesus is the way. He's the truth of life, that we cannot go to heaven unless we come to him. So if no matter what your trouble is, no matter what difficulty you're having today, maybe you can't see a way out of your situation. You don't know what to do next. I'm trying to open my app here. Okay, let's do it again. I don't know what my own number is here. Why is it doing this? Somebody, why is it doing that? Something's going on. That's not happening to me. Is that happening to me? This is not going on. Praise God. See? We talk about the devil. Did you know what scripture I gave you? 14:16. So here's an idea. So sometimes we don't know. Jesus said 14:6. That I am the way, the truth, and life, that no one goes to the Father but by me. He didn't say you have to go by the prayers of all the saints. He didn't say you go to heaven or make it to heaven you have to go through Peter first. He said you go through by me. So anything that Jesus said, I am the way, first of all, he is the way. He is the way maker. He can make a way where there's no way at all. Everybody said, Jesus is the way. So he is the way. So the point of what I was going to talk about is that God will make a way where there is no way in your life regarding any situation. Everybody say, God will make a way where there is no way. Say, God will make a way. For me. So right now you might be looking at a situation where you can't see your way out of it. You can't see a way around it or under it or over it. But somehow, in the mind of God, he's got a way that you or anyone else that's human cannot see it. See, God looks at things from a different perspective. And that's why we have to read the Word to see his way. He says, my way is a higher way. So God has made a way for you. So just like the people of Israel, God made a way for the Israelites when they came out of Egypt to walk on dry land through the sea. He made a way for them to go through. So when they came to a place and Pharaoh and his army were chasing them, you know, God had to deliver them from the Egyptians, Pharaoh and the Egyptians, from hard slavery. And he did all kinds of miracles through Moses, God did. And he let them go. He finally let them go. He said, okay. First of all, the devil wanted to make a deal, or Pharaoh wanted to make a deal. He said, okay, listen, you can take the people, but don't take the animals. And he said, no, we're going to take our animals. So I believe that we can claim our animals. So we have a little animal at our house. His name is Sully. And I'll claim him for redemption. He's got two little animals at his house. And I tease him, I said, why would you have a little dog? Now I have one. So all the staff members, the pastors, they got dogs, and Pastor Dave has one. You getting another one, Pastor Dave?
No.
There's a word of knowledge coming. You're about to see seven dogs, 101 Dalmatians for Christmas. Anyway, so they're delivered. So do you remember the third chapter over there, and they're talking about this and that, and God gave them instructions, you know, take the blood, take an animal for each house, and take the blood and put the blood on the, take the blood and, with, you know, and mark it on the on your doorpost and the side, two sides, and on the top signifying, you know, on the door signifying the cross of Jesus. Is that what they did? And they ate the lamb, dressed up, ready to go. And so they went. They were delivered. And they went with Moses. Pharaoh let them go. But before that, again, he said, you can go take everybody with you, but just leave all your children. What did Moses say? He said, all right, take a few of them. You can have one or two. Though he says, no, you can't have our children. See, that's a picture of you. When the devil comes to you and tries to steal your children from the things of God, you have to stand against him.
Amen.
Amen. Max, you got to stand. I'm telling you, I'm standing with you, man. You and me are going to just clean some clocks here in the name of Jesus. So we have to stand.
Amen.
And stand against the enemy. Okay, so my point is about that. So he was kind of making, some talk to negotiate with you that you can have this, but you got to do this certain thing. So he's going to try to make you compromise. Okay? So he begins to compromise, and Moses said, no, we're not going to compromise. We're not going to leave one animal. We're not leaving one hoof, he says, in this situation. We're not going to leave one hoof back there. We're taking all the animals. And we're taking all our children. We're not leaving this place without our children. So you're going to have to, when you pray for your children, you have to go to God and say, listen, devil, I won't come here. I want to talk to you. That's what you got to do. You got to talk to him face to face. Say, listen, you're not going to have my child. You're not going to have CL. She's going to come to church. She's going to serve God. And she's going to prophesy, lay hands, cast out devils, and do whatever they... And no matter what it is, we're not taking anything less than that. We're bringing Gail in and make sure this is good. You know, all the other girls are coming in. They're going to be sitting right over here. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
See them sitting right there. That's why these are open. They're waiting for them. And CL over here and all your other children.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And that's what this has to be.
Yes.
So, what else are we going to say? Well, they said, well, okay, they took the children, they're running. Now they got all the animals out, and they got the children out of there. They're walking down the road, and Pharaoh is sitting back home with his army, and all the Egyptians, all the Israelites are gone from Egypt, all their horses, everybody's gone. They took all their belongings. In fact, the Bible said that they took jewelry and a lot of stuff from Egypt, all the riches and that. How do you think they made the gold calf and all that stuff? They had just nice chains on, like, you know, some of these black guys, you know. You ever see that? Rings everywhere, you know. They're going down there. The Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. They took a bunch of stuff. They took riches with them. The psalmist said they came out of Egypt with silver and gold. There was not one feeble among the tribes. And you know, not one person sick. Not anybody with a missing eyeball. Nobody that was lame, crippled. They were emaciated. They were skinny. They were treated badly. The Bible said they came out after they ate the lamb. They got all healed, praise God. Because they ate the lamb. They ate at the table. When we come to the communion table, we got to believe God for our healing, amen? Because it belongs to us. It belongs to us. They eat the lamb, you know, they ate the lamb, they drank, whatever, and then they went out. The Bible says they came out with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among the tribes. That's a picture of you and I in redemption, that God wants you with all your needs met. He wants you healed. Okay, so now Pharaoh's sitting there. He changed his mind. He said, what? We let these guys go? We don't have any compensation. They left us all alone. Who's going to take care of my garden? Who's going to take care of my fields? Who's going to clean the palace? Who's going to clean the yard? Who's going to clean the gutter? Who's going to do all this stuff? Let's go get them. Gather the army together. Let's go get them. So they gather the army, and they're running towards the Egyptians. I don't know how many days they left or how far they went, but they were chasing them, and all of a sudden the children of Israel are marching down there, and all of a sudden they hear the army coming, the galloping of the horses and chariots coming in, and they could see the smoke in the air and everything. They're coming, and they look back, and when they look back, the Bible says they got terrified. Some people, Jesus is the way maker, but they're looking back at what they came out of, thinking that they're going to go back to it, or somehow this sickness is going to get back on them, or they're going to lose money again and go back into debt again, or, you know, that person left me once, they're going to leave me again. Terrified. Looking at Pharaoh and all the stuff that they came out of, and they're supposed to leave that back there. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
So that's a picture of us. So the devil is not going to give up where he's been in your life just because you came out of adultery. He's going to try to get that back on you again. If you came out of drinking and drug addict, he's going to try to get that back on there. If you come out of whatever broken situation, bad heart and all that stuff, he's going to try to get you back in there. That's why it's called a fight of faith.
Amen.
So I'm trying to tell you tonight to stand. If you had cancer in your life, the devil's going to try to get back in there. You got to make sure right now, right at this moment, you got to make sure that you're going to stand. And you just can't just make, you can't just say, I'm going to stand. You got to do some things to make sure that you're going to stand. And the only way you're going to stand is to get the word planted in your heart, like right now.
Amen.
So when something happens to you, you can get out of bed like this woman right here that planted the word of God in her heart when she had a stroke, the word of God came out of her. I was reading Trina Hankins' testimony last night. We've been reading, we've been doing a house, what do we do, what is it called, devotions at night? Trina Hankins, She was bothered by all kinds of ailments as a child, and had severe pain and asthma attacks, severe asthma, couldn't even function, and all some other ailments, and suffered greatly, couldn't breathe, in and out of the hospital. Got a hold of the Word of God, started hearing these great preachers about healing and get the Word of God in them. Begin to hear that. So she got well. But then she got well, started ministering for the Lord and so on. One day after church, during church, fell over and just got dizzy and got a really bad headache and ended up in the hospital. And they took her in the hospital, did some observations, and said, "No, Trina, we're sorry to tell you, you got inoperable brain tumor. You're going to be dead in a very short time." This is Mark Hankins' wife. How many of you know who Mark Hankins is? If you don't, Google it. Go on Facebook and Google Mark Hankins, or find Mark Hankins. Get him on your thing. You need to know about these men of God, women of God, who got the victory. And Keith Moore, you know, the Lord took him to heaven. And when his dad died in this plane, he invited his dad to come, bugged his dad for a long time to get on his plane. Finally gets on the plane, takes him up in the air, and he dies up there. And he felt bad for years. And one day the Lord took him to heaven, and he saw his dad. That's another story. I had another story I was talking about yesterday, last Sunday, and I forgot about it and remember sitting in my office today. But where were we before that, Mark Hankins? Well, anyway, she had an inoperable brain tumor. And they're going to die. They said, "You're going to die a very short time. You got a couple weeks to live." So Mark said, "You know, no one's coming in her hospital bed and room unless you have great faith. We don't need no pity people crying over them." Amen. We don't need anybody crying over you. We need somebody who has faith that can believe they can get out of bed. Amen. Don't cry. Get out of here. Jesus, you know, when Jesus healed the people, he kicked people out of the house and only took 3 or 4 people inside of the place. Said, "You guys that was crying, get out of there right now. We don't need you. We want people who have faith and believe and trust God." Can you say amen tonight?
Amen.
That's why I don't tell people. If I got trouble, I don't even tell too many people. Because I don't need you talking about me and how bad my trouble is and letting everybody else on it, and they talk about it, and the devil gets in and on it. So no use telling me about anything like that, because I know how to get victory.
Right.
Amen. Those people, Christians, putting stuff on Facebook, telling people how bad they have it. You're just baiting yourself for the next attack. Come on now. And so, you know, here's Pharaoh coming in. Now, so he don't give up. The devil's not going to give up just because you're born again. I sat in my office with this man. I've had some tremendous spiritual experiences that lots of people never had. I told him, if I didn't have the experiences I had, I would never be a pastor today, never go into ministry. And I was told and trained that you don't quit because you don't have any money. You certainly don't quit because you're not famous. And I'm talking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus had lost a lot of people in his life. First of all, he lost 1/3 of his angels.
Yes, he
lost a lot of folks there. And don't you think that people are going to turn their back on you? "Hey, where are you going? It's early." And so, you know, we need to understand that we have to stand strong.
Yeah.
And stand long sometime.
Yeah.
So Pharaoh's coming, and they look back, the Israelites look back, and they're afraid. Look at those guys. Look at the large armies coming. We're not soldiers. We can't fight against them. We're not warriors. We don't have any weapons. They're coming with weapons, and they have fast vehicles. We can't even outrun them. And if we run, we're going to hit the sea. The sea's in front of us. We're going to drown. And if we go that way, we can't go that. There's enemy on that side in the mountains. We can't go this way. There's enemy over here. And behind us, Pharaoh's coming. We got nowhere to turn. And that's exactly the way you and I feel when someone is struck with cancer or has a bad disease or has no money to pay their bills or whatever it is, or somebody walks on them. You got nowhere to turn except turn to God. And that's the best way to be if you turn to God. But if you don't turn to God, you got big trouble. Now, that's my introduction. We're going to go here to show God had made a way for the people there of Israel. Let's go ahead and read where can we read? Why don't we just go to Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 to 16. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. I like it in the King James because it has more stronger flavor to it. How many of you like coffee? Okay, how many of you like strong coffee? Yeah, see? Sometimes you like coffee. My wife said she's going to drink coffee. I said, this tastes like every Sunday. Where's Flo? Is she around here? She tries to give me something called coffee on Sunday morning. Sorry about that, Flo. But Moses told the people, Exodus 14, 13, Moses told the people, don't be afraid. We talked about 8 weeks ago, every week when I was teaching, about learning how not to fear. And last Sunday we talked about, the last fear we talked about is learning to have the fear of God. He said, don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Stay calm. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Sometimes people think if they cry a lot, God's going to hear them. If I just go ahead and cry and beg God. God's not moved by that. He is moved by if we begin to get moving and start acting in faith towards God that what his word says is true. If you told somebody you're going to give them something, and you say, I'll give that to you Friday, we're going to do this, we'll go out together, have a great time, and every moment, every day, they tell you the same thing. Are you going to do that for me? Are you going to do that? Are we going to do that? You say, what's wrong with you? I told you we're going to go there. Then they come back again after you tell them that you're mad at them, and they come back again. Are we going to do that again? Hey, listen, hey. are we going to go? And so he said, no, I told you already. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people, get moving. Pick up your staff, raise up your hands over the sea, drive the water so that the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. So as they were leaving Egypt and began to have fear that Pharaoh and his army is going to catch up to them, recapture them, and put them back in again. But notice what God said. He said, the army you see, Israelites you see today, well, you will not see tomorrow. That's we got to believe that. I remember this one testimony of Rodney Howard Brown's sister or brother came here to preach. We had three meetings with him one time, 3 weeks, every day for 3 weeks. Every day for 3 weeks, and we had, I don't know if Debbie remembered that, one day we didn't have a Sunday, I think it was Saturday we had off, thank God. We had just enough time to wash your underclothes. You had no clothes, you had a pile of clothes there every day. Because you got nothing but going to meetings every day. But the wife said, I had this illness, and she's about to die, really, really bad illness. I can't remember what it was now. It was really severe. Seems to be like she was dying. But the Lord said to her, gave her the scripture. The sickness you see today, you won't see tomorrow. She took that by faith. She took it by faith, and she got well. Thank God. So, we need to stand still. See, fear is right there. Pharaoh is right there. He's not giving up. There is a tug of war on whether or not who's going to give up first. I don't know about you, but somebody asked me the other day, I never smoked since, 35 years now, cigarettes or something like that. I don't think I ever smoked a cigarette. How many years have we been married? 31 years? 30 years, something like that. But anyway, it was just before, I was smoking just before that. My wife said to me, "If you better quit smoking or else I'm not going to marry you." No. So she, I quit smoking because I didn't want to put up with her bugging me. It was easy to quit smoking. Anyway, I quit. Anyway, it's amazing. Yesterday, we were with people, some people, and they're smoking. I don't hang around with people that smoke all that much, but sometimes you get around folks that smoke, and that same cigarette, that smell, oh, man, it's like it never went away. How many of you ever smoked before? Huh? Yeah, see, didn't it ever, sometimes, oh, wow. Huh? I love it. I'm telling you, my body, my flesh always loved it. I'll tell you right now. I'll confess to you. I tell people, I just say, "Oh, Lord, I hate it. I hate it." The Lord said, "No, you love it." I have to be honest. But if you're a real smoker, you would love it. Your flesh loves it. If you're real, like I'm telling, some people just go, pff, pff, you don't inhale. You're not really a smoker. Okay, if you inhale cigarettes for 35 years, you're a smoker, and your body wants it. And so, did you smoke before? Yeah? Okay, so, anyway, he just had one this afternoon. No, just kidding. No. Anyway, your body, the devil will put that, he'll put that out, he'll try to invite you back. Just one of those. Just have one drink. Relax. Nice atmosphere, everything's nice, you're away from town. Hey? And no one's going to know. We won't just tell anybody. We'll just have one. Just relax. So that's there. See, the enemy is not going to give up on you right away. And this is Pharaoh. He let them go. Even after all the trouble he had with the Israelites, and God took them away, he still came back. He still wants them. And the enemy, he's hot on your trail. And if you don't stand firm and make sure right now that you're going to stand, you're going to be overcome. And I'm telling you right now, you have to build up on your faith on things. Make sure, remember these two things. Make sure you are building your foundation of faith every single day. Learn how to build strong faith, and learn how to resist the enemy. Learn how to stand. Those are important things. And so, the Bible tells us to stand. So standing is not always easy. It says over there, stand still. How many people know there's a time to move on because the Lord told them to keep moving, and then he told them to stand still now. Okay, so sometimes by faith we have to move on, but there is a time when you just stand still and say, "No way, I ain't moving, I ain't budging, I have what I want in the name of Jesus." There's a time to move and there's a time to stand still. Two things. That's what he said in there. You read those scriptures. There's time to get moving and there's time to stand still. At that juncture, he said to them, "Okay, stand still right now. You're going to see the salvation." Now, some people, they keep running when they should stand still. We have to take instruction by the Holy Spirit what to do, because a lot of times you won't have scripture and verse on how to get your kids out of the drug house. You're not going to have scripture on what do you have to do when your husband's dying and he's screaming because he's got cancer and he's screaming out because he's got pain. Hello? There's a time that you have to stand strong in the Word of God. Sometimes you have to carry that person that is your husband or wife or your child. You have to carry them. You got to know when to carry them and when to make them walk. And it takes faith to know when to do these things. Because sometimes we try to carry people too far and we get tired ourselves and we're not supposed to be carrying them. And you have to know what to do and how. When does your faith, where does your faith end with a certain family member? Amen. And God will show you that. And the only way you can find out, you got to get the scriptures and you got to get the word. Say, for instance, here's something that was, I remember my pastor, Pastor Rick, you know, Pastor Kat, they got a church there, over 2,000 people over at Windsor. You know, the devil tried to take him out when he was smaller in the ministry. I think he had about 500 people. They had a split at 500, and they left him, and his wife left him. How many of you know that my pastor's wife left him? She was a lesbian, got involved with another woman, and then the church split because his wife left him. They said, you're no longer fit to be a pastor because now you're divorced. And he felt so distraught. I was telling this man, I said, if it wasn't for the Lord telling me, I would never come into ministry because of the way I was taught. And a lot of people can't get over about my own life because they don't trust me as a pastor because they see where I stand. I would be just like them right now. I don't blame them because they are religiously taught. I would be exactly like them. If God didn't show me what to do, if God didn't tell me that I was a pastor, that he wanted me in the ministry, I would have never been into the ministry. I'm glad the Lord showed me to stand strong. And there's a lot of people out there right now, they're not in church because of it. Because they can't get past some things. So anyway, the Lord showed him. How many people know that Pastor Rick also God took him to heaven? It wasn't a couple of years ago, the Lord took him to heaven. I remember just a few years ago, we were sitting there, Pastor Rick said, you know, guys, the Lord gave me a vision. He said, the Lord said to me that he wants me in this apostolic role across this nation to bring the word of faith, to bring the word of God across the nation. That's why he's so strong there and being strong in the word of God. You know, so anyway, he stayed in the ministry, Pastor Rick did. Then along the line, there's something else happened to him. His children, his older girls, got involved. One of them, a few of them got out of the whack, and one of them went really into drugs and for a number of years and was really strong. So some people said, you're not fit to be in ministry. Your kids are out there. How many people know there's a time to divide the word?
Amen.
You know? If your kids are 10 years old, they're out of whack, then you need to get out of ministry. But if they're adults and they're doing their own thing, you can't control an adult. You try and control. Can you truly control your 20-year-old kid? If they're smoking or not? Or drinking or doing drugs? So there's a time the Bible talks about when you divide, you have to divide the word. That's why you go to Bible school and learn to divide the word properly. Because you could misunderstand about that. And so, you know, he had this vision. The Lord told him, this is what I want you to do. And without the word of God, we cannot stand the test of the time of God's going to bring you into ministry. Brother Hagin taught us. He said, you know, when you're called in the ministry, you got to be sure yourself that Jesus called you yourself. No one can prophesy to you. You can't tell somebody, hey, God wants you in the ministry there. Come on in. He said, I never told my son that he was called to the ministry. He had to decide himself. Because the time will come when you'll be tested. I don't know if anyone here that stand with me in the ministry. I know this guy has been test all this last few years. My wife's been through a lot of tests. You've been through a lot of tests. Everyone on the ministry staff here has been totally tested, and you're still around. This guy would have died. How many say, thank God he didn't die? You should say, well, bless God. No, wait a minute. She would have died. Now, he would have died too. I didn't kill him. I'm saying just different things happen in our lives, and certainly you had lots of trouble. I've had some medical issues. When I first came in, the devil tried to kill me. And when I started the ministry. And the doctor didn't know what happened to me. I was just like you. I was totally in pain for at least 5 years, somewhere under 2 years of severe. And my whole side of my body. And the devil will try to take you out, see? Take you away out of the ministry so that you're not going to be useful. You know, how can we help someone if we're going to be so dependent on everybody? We've got to depend on the Word. So standing strong, we need to stand still, stay put where God put you. If God brought you to Faith City Church, you're going to learn how to stand. And this is not a baby church where I pray for everybody and cuddle you up and just lay hands on you every Sunday. I was told at Rhema, here's the church I come from. I was told at Rhema Bible School, healing lines are the exception, not the rule in church. Hello?
Amen.
That's where I came out of. That's what my thinking is. So now listen, I didn't say I'll never pray for somebody, and don't feel ashamed if I have to pray for you. Or if I need to pray for you, if there's a word of knowledge come out, you need to come forward. And don't ever feel like, like Miss Lynette Hagan, she grew up in that all her life in church, and now she's a minister, and Brother Hagan calls her, and she said, what are people going to think of me? I'm a grown minister. I'm ahead of the Rhema here, and here I am going up. No, if God says go, go. Don't be ashamed of it. But I'm saying this, everybody needs to be learn how to stand on their own, but not every Sunday come up with the same prayer. We're going to kick you on the back until you go sit in the seat for a while and hear what we have to say every Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. We have to be strong, because if I don't treat you, and teach you the Word of God, then you're going to go down, then you're going to stay the same way always. Because you're not just standing alone. You're going to have to stand for your family.
Yes.
You're going to have to be strong, not just for you, but for your family.
Amen.
Your son's going to need you. Your daughter's going to need you. Your husband is going to need you to stand strong no matter what happens. And people out there that God's called you to talk to, you need to stand strong with them. I'm running out of time here. Let's go ahead and close. We're going to get into some kind of series over here. Not all tonight either. So we got to stand. We got to know when to move. And we have to know when to stay still. Let's go ahead and close. Father, thank you for the Word as we encourage. Right now, we know that you've called us. We know that you assigned us, give us assignments. We thank you, Lord God, for the Word that went out. We thank you for the Word of knowledge that went out. In the beginning, thank you for the signs and wonders. Let's get our eye on the Lord for a second, because I think he needs to talk to somebody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we have to get serious. Because we can get so complacent and so ungrateful for what we have, the level of word you've been getting. Seem to think that we can take it or leave it. But the Lord brought you here for a reason. And he's getting you ready. Thank you, Lord, that the days ahead that we don't know what's happening, but thank God we never had a special revelation, because when you give a special revelation, a vision or a sign, that it's always a tough time, a day ahead. So thank you that I didn't have that yet. I didn't have one of those revelations. We just act like it's so. We just act like the Word. If there's trouble ahead, we're going to act like the peace of God rules in our heart. We're going to act like the Word of God is true concerning healing and finances and all that. We're going to thank you that you said thou will be saved in thy house. So we're trusting that our house, you said, if you come and serve me, I will save you and you save your house. All your household, everyone in your home will be born again, will be saved. We're standing strong, and we tell the enemy, just like Moses did, you're not going to steal any one of our members. You're not going to steal any one of our family members. You're not going to steal our health. We're going to go into the life in our phases of life, in our as we get older, we're going to reject cancer. We're going to reject diabetes. We're going to reject heart disease. We're going to reject and stand against fear and anxiety and all the things of addiction causes people and all the problems. So thank you for that. So we're going to be serious about it. We're making a commitment tonight that we're standing on the Word of God. Lord, you remembered what you said to the disciples, that the crisis of life comes to all of us. The storms of life comes to every one of us, whether we're born again or whether we're not saved. The same problem comes to everybody. And the same problem comes to every Christian. The same kind of difficulties, the similarities of difficulties comes to all the kind of believers. But you said that if we build our house on the Word of God, that we become doers of the Word of God, that we are guaranteed to stand strong after the storm has blown its course. So I put my faith on it, that we stand on the Word, that we're going to build our lives on the Word of God concerning faith and standing strong. We're going to build our lives concerning how to believe God for ourselves and for our children. We're going to plead, not just stand idle. We're going to be proactive and pray out the answer. We're going to see the answer by faith. We see ourselves well. We see our families well. We see ourselves as prosperity and victory. Thank you, Lord. And we're not going to look at Pharaoh and his army. We're going to look at the victory of the promised land and enjoying all the things that you promised there. As we said in the beginning by prophetic word, that there is a time of joy ahead of us. Thank you. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and thank him. Let's go ahead and praise him. Everybody stand up for a second. Glory to God. Hallelujah. By faith, the Bible says, we offer the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. What would you do if you were excited about it? How would you act if it was so? Hallelujah. If that money came in, if you're healed, how would it sound like? How would it look like? Praise God. Hallelujah. If that kid came back home, oh, he's not serving the devil anymore. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Become a doer of the word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. If you're watching online, and if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, this is the time right now. You can come to Jesus Christ. And you can, if you can just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I've been in church all my life. But I know that deep down inside that I'm not born again. All you have to, the Bible says, you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be born again. And find a good church, Bible-believing church, wherever you are. If you don't have one, if you